Mars, a law firm, Tennessee basketball overtime. The place where the Big Orange Universe from all around the world gathers to talk about tonight's game. Unfiltered, uncensored, and wholeheartedly unapologetic. Get on the line with us right now. 865-200-5402. That's 865-200-5402. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony Basilio. Now, here's your host of the Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, the man who's been keeping it real for Vol fans for almost a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tony Basilio.
Great Saturday afternoon to yours, to you and yours. 2 hours and 10 minutes later, the air's out of Tennessee's NCAA tournament balloon once and for all. The air is out of the balloon once and for all. Unless Joe Lenardi wants to leave our guys in the just to torment us in the first four out, whatever that means. I'm not sure what that means, but first four of what out? Hey, Laura, you see my water? I'm all over the place here. It's not a good sign when you're missing your... Oh, there it is. That's the kind of day I'm having. Hey, this basketball team is, they're a 500 basketball team. That's what they are. It's what they've been. Tennessee falls to, and again, I'm not going to beat up on them after this result today. They're 14-14 overall in games that count. 7-9 overall in the league. And Tennessee's now lost two straight and lost to a South Carolina team today that at various times in today's basketball game was in trouble. Carolina, though up big early in this one, had only an 8-point lead at halftime. And if you're listening to me and you didn't see the first part of the basketball game, let me lay a couple numbers on you here. This is where things were for Tennessee. We're 12 minutes into this game, okay? Tennessee has 9 points and 9 turnovers 12 minutes into that game. And they had 8 fouls. Now, how they're only down 8 points at halftime from that point is for Frank Martin to answer, not me, because his team is deficient. The game, the score at that point was 27-11, and Tennessee from there was able to scratch and claw and get back into it. With 2:48 to play in the first half, what do you mean, where's the sound? Why are people asking me where the sound is? Oh. Why are people asking me where the sound is? I don't know what's going on. Can you hear it now? Can people hear me now? Can people hear me now? Can you hear me now? What's going on here? Let me bring the great Mark Griffin in here. The great Keith Hatfield. Gentlemen, how we doing? Gentlemen, are y'all there?
Tony, after the first half, I was doing pretty good. After that second half, not doing too well.
Yeah, that's a pretty good line, Griff. That's a pretty good line. Keith, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, doing fantastic, Tony.
The game itself, guys, and can y'all hear us now? Talk to me here. Okay, the game itself, guys, as I was saying, we were 12 minutes into that game for the second straight game, and we had a mystifying start, which inevitably does us in because you expend so much energy trying to get back in to a game like that. You expend so much energy trying to get back in a game like that, and it becomes a battle of what are we doing here, you know? And it was one of those deals for Tennessee where it just took a lot out of them. It took a lot out of them to try and climb back into that game, and they weren't able to do it.
Well, no, you get jumped the way they got jumped early, Tony. That's a veteran team that had to win today. I mean, they're about to see two straight seasons go down the tubes, and they came out early. I mean, Tennessee was having trouble getting the ball anywhere they wanted to get it offensively, and I mean, you turn the ball over 9 times in the first 12 minutes, you're not going to beat many people.
Griff, thoughts?
No, I think he's right. I think what was interesting to me was UT went to a zone with, I guess, 8 minutes left, and we're down 27-11 and, you know, cut it to eight. But then what did Frank Martin do? He went to a zone, and he was killing Tennessee with a man, and then went to a zone in that first half and allowed Tennessee to come back. Of course, the second half was a whole different game, and Tennessee, I think, went to more individual ball, didn't play as a team. It just looked like guys had their own agenda and really weren't working the ball around as effectively as they could, and unforced turnovers in that sense. I know we caused a lot of turnovers, but it seemed like we had a lot of uncontested turnovers on our end. It was just I just thought it was just a pure ugly ball game.
Yeah, it was an ugly. It was a really ugly basketball game. And, you know, you look at a game like that, you look at those numbers early on that we were talking about. I mean, just to give you an idea of where things were, guys, just to give you an idea of where things were, Tennessee did not record their first assist in tonight's game until 2:48 left in the first half. They had at one point 9 turnovers and 1 assist. They shot 9 of 26 from the field. And Keith, somehow, that added up to them being only down 8 points, because South Carolina, there's a reason South Carolina had lost 5 of 6 coming in. They don't focus for a full 40 minutes. And tonight, we saw when South Carolina's clicking and when it's going well, they can be pretty good. Keith, when they lose their focus, talking about Carolina, they are a horror show on the offensive end.
Well, that's the thing. They're going to go through long stretches. That's why they may make the NCAA tournament, but unless they catch an incredibly favorable draw, they better enjoy it while they're there, because
yep.
It's not going to be a terribly long stay for them.
No, it's not. And they've got a senior-laden basketball team that really should be better than they are. I mean, they should be better in moments like that than they are. Let me give you guys another number. Thornwell at the half for them only has 6 points and 2 rebounds. Williams kept Tennessee in the game in the first half. He had 8 points, 7 rebounds. He kept some plays alive on the offensive end. Tennessee scratches, guys, and it's hard to believe because the Vols get blown out today, 82-55. And look, when you think about what we have on this basketball team, how hard this team plays, how long a basketball season is, it's remarkable that we haven't seen more blowouts than this one this year. I mean, it's remarkable that this team, because they're deficient, it's remarkable that they haven't been blown out more than they have. So it's a tribute to them. It's a tribute to them that they hung around today at halftime. Because truthfully, guys, they should have been, for the second straight game, absolutely buried at halftime. If we're playing in a legitimate league, I'm just going to say it like it is. Griff, if we're playing legitimately NCAA tournament caliber teams like Vandy and South Carolina purport to be, they blow us out with everything that we did wrong today in the first half. Do you not agree with that?
No, I agree. And it goes to show, and you've mentioned this, Tony, all along, and Keith as well. I mean, is Tennessee an NCAA team this year? No. It's fun watching bracketology and seeing the other teams that are on the bubble and this bubble talk. But when it gets down to the 40 minutes, you saw the deficiencies that Tennessee has. Them having to go to a 1-3-1 is not their mainstay defense. And when you play a 1-3-1 defense, and any basketball listener would know about this, but the corner shot on either side is where you're left vulnerable. And if you saw how South Carolina was able to really take advantage of that corner shot and nail down numerous threes today to offset that change in coach's strategy just showed how much you could turn that game around. But you know, I didn't think the overall effort was there. I was disappointed Lamonte Turner. I don't know what's going on with him, but to me, he just seems like a selfish player. I didn't like his body language. His angle to the pass to Schofield was terrible, and he looked at Schofield like it was his fault. And they just got to come together now and try to save the rest of the season, or they're going to walk into this SEC tournament, you know, a 10 or 11 seed, and hope, I don't know if they have a chance to play in that opening night, but you don't want to go in there number 11 and play in the opening night. And right now, I don't know what their chances are, but it's looking like it's more favorable to them to play an opening night than what it was last couple of weeks.
guys, we are now an even 14-14 straight up in games that matter. I'm talking about for the NIT selection committee. And again, you know, we had talked about this, the possibility of this coming to fruition, even before playing Vanderbilt, the possibility this could be an 0-for-2 week. It was a concern of mine. Keith, this team is now 7-9 in the SEC. You and Tony Jones tried to tell me the other night that this team could still lose at LSU. There's no way this team can lose at LSU now, Keith, with a 7-9 and with everything that's staring them in the face. Because if they do, then we're going to do the unthinkable, which is go from the first four out in the NCAA tournament to missing the NIT in 10 days. Which, let me tell you something. Around here, the way the AD search has been handled, anything is possible. But, Keith, you could not have convinced me that that could be the case.
No, you play a couple, you let a couple of games at home get away against Georgia and Vanderbilt, and that's where it puts you. And I mean, I think we've seen enough bad basketball and stretches out of this team that, I mean, I don't think it would be a pushover. They would beat Centenary if they played them on a given night. So I'm certainly not going to say that an LSU team with Antonio Blakeney and a couple of other pretty solid players couldn't beat them in a one-shot deal.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Griff made a point about Lamonte Turner and our body language today, and Griff has been very Griff coming hard with his opinion here. And Mark Griffin, a guy who went to Hawaii with this team this year, has been on the road several times, has only missed one home game, though he lives in Nashville, is a stalwart on here, has been to several practices, knows this team intimately inside and out, knows the staff, knows from whence he speaks, and does not speak out of turn. Keith, your thoughts on Griff's assertion that we just weren't there today, and that Lamonte Turner in the second half was trying to get his, and the finger pointing and some of the other things that just don't need to go on in a game like this?
Well, I mean, that's going to be, especially with a young team, that's going to be part of it when things aren't going well. People are always, the last person people look to blame almost always going to be themselves, especially freshmen. Yeah, I mean, that's a problem. And, I mean, you come out early, I mean, Notice and Thornwell are just ripping balls out of guys' hands. I mean, it was obvious. And, I mean, that part of that is, I mean, how many games did South Carolina win when Notice and Thornwell were freshmen?
Griff, are you going to use youth as an excuse for what we saw today? What do you think?
At this time of the season, I'm actually not. When you compare the length of play as far as years with, you know, the senior leadership that South Carolina has and experience, yeah, we don't match up. But when you get to this point and what really matters as far as what's in front of Tennessee and how South Carolina's lost 4 or 5 going in, knowing they had to have this game, I mean, it's a tough place to play, obviously, but it's just, this is not the team that I thought I would see at this time of the year to play at the effort level that they had today. That was just quite disappointing. And there was many times, and I'm sure some of your listeners, I want to turn the game off because
yeah.
I just knew it was over. And I was like, okay, maybe some good things will come out of the second half, late in the second half for Tennessee, some good things to talk about on your show. But Tony and Keith, I didn't see anything that was really worthy that the guys did well.
I thought the interesting thing they did today, Keith, was the way they used Hubs at the point, let him handle it, and he didn't look bad. Now it didn't exactly lead to a stellar second half offensively for Tennessee. It didn't exactly lead to stellar offense for him, but it kept him involved in the game to the point where he ends up with 16 points. In fact, he's the only Vol today that gets in double figures. And you know, one bright spot is I thought he looked pretty good today.
No, he would. Certainly that's not a position he needs to be playing. And if Tennessee had remotely threatened in the second half, I'm sure South Carolina would have sped him up. And I think that probably would not have been a pretty thing to watch, him trying to bring the ball up against pressure. But they just got caught. They got caught today. I agree with Mark. They were flat-footed today. and South Carolina in a situation where they have to have a game. And it's, I mean, the bottom line is now you try to, you win the two games this week, probably draw. If they win the two games this week, they're going to draw probably the winner of one of the two play-in games. Win that, that gets you into the NIT and you go from there. I mean, that's where they're at. And certainly, but no, I mean, they're capable of losing both games next week, losing the first game of the tournament, and end of the year on, what, a 5 or 6 game losing streak. There's no, I mean, I don't think there's any debate that that's a possibility right now.
865-200-5402. The thing I hate seeing is these guys have played so hard all year. And my concern on your Smartway Garza Law Firm Tennessee Basketball Overtime is that these guys are out of gas. That's the second straight game that we've seen them start disinterested. Now, one of them took place in our building. Keith, I'm going to brag on you for a second. And Griff, the other night on our postgame show, after you had exited, Keith made the point that in his mind, one of two things was going to happen today in Columbia. South Carolina was either going to blow us out, or we were going to come out of the gate early, shoot the ball well, handle the basketball, and blow them out. And I think either of those things, I had a guy yesterday from Columbia State, and I ran that by him, and he said, you know what? He said, either one of those scenarios would make sense to me. And Tennessee, for the second straight game, and then now this is up to Rick Barnes and his staff, they've got to figure out, all of a sudden, my guys have given me tremendous effort all year, but in the last two games, we've hit a wall. Now, I don't know how you get it back. It would be a shame to throw in the towel now and see these kids not make postseason basketball. Mark, I'd like your thoughts on that. And then, Keith, I'll go to you. And then we'll get some phone calls in. And if you want to join us, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. It would be a real shame if this basketball team does not make it to postseason basketball in something other than the Kerry Keating Invitational. Griff, I will start with you. For the second straight game, I'm trying to figure out why this is, but we were not ready to play basketball, and we took the court this afternoon.
No, you're right. And what's perplexing is South Carolina, outside of Thornwell and Dozier, I don't think they're that great of a team. Now, obviously had a great win today, but like he said, I don't see them going far in NCAA tournament. I'll tell you why. The inside presence of Silva, you don't know what you're going to get. And then you got a streaky shooter in Notice, which played a really good game today. He really looked great today, but he's very streaky. He's the type of shooter, he misses his first shot, he's off, or his first two, then he's done. But he obviously got hot today. I don't see enough depth with the South Carolina team to go far, but getting back to today, they seem to click on all cylinders, and the big difference to me is they just played like a team and very focused and just took advantage of a lot of turnovers that Tennessee had, but more importantly, unforced turnovers, because I know Tennessee forced a lot of turnovers for South Carolina, but it just seemed like Tennessee's were unforced, and there were several 50-50 balls, if you recall.
Yep.
That each one of those went the South Carolina way. And for people that may not know what 50-50 ball is, it's just a loose ball that both teams have a chance to get that's in the open court. It just seemed like South Carolina was at the right spot to get those balls and transition into a basket, which kills you because coaches really keep up with 50-50 ball possessions. And it just goes, and that goes back to hustle plays, which just didn't go our way today.
Keith, I'm going to throw some numbers at you. And you tell me how those guys doing that game today, Pat Bradley and the guy from Atlanta, God bless them, they want to tell me how great this league is. Keith, in 40 minutes of basketball today, those two teams combined for how many turnovers? You guys care to guess?
Oh, it's got to be around 30 plus,
and
I would think.
And what, the first half you said? Or
no, okay. In 40 minutes of basketball, both teams combined for, you guys ready?
I'd say 37.
38 turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, it was a terrible.
I mean, what the hell? We had 20. They had 18 in their building and beat us 25. They had,
crazy.
Think about losing 25 points to somebody that turns the ball over 18 times. Think about how many things you have to do wrong to play somebody. And I mean, we've seen some crazy lines from our team this year. This might be one of the craziest. They turned the ball over 18 times today, Keith, and beat us 25.
Well, you're not going to see that very often. I mean, I thought the game was encapsulated. I mean, if you wanted to see Tennessee's lack of focus and everything that was wrong today, all I had to do was look at the last possession of the first half.
Agreed.
When Tennessee gets the ball with about 20 seconds to go, and Admiral Schofield tries to throw the ball on the run to Kyle Alexander. I mean, I don't put that on Kyle Alexander because you got to know who you're throwing it to, man. You can't. He's not catching that on the run.
Well, Bino made a great point to me at halftime. Why at that point? You guys are in a game you have no business being in, okay? Get a timeout there, set something up, and you take the last shot of the half. You walk out of there either down 5, 4, 3, take your pick. But you.
Oh, I think they might have called a timeout if Schofield doesn't race the ball in the front court and throw it away.
You can't. Well, wait a second. No, Keith. We're not doing that. You're not blaming Schofield. You blame that man making $1.7 million.
He can't call timeout, Tony.
Hey, Keith. Huh?
He can't call timeout from the bench anymore.
Who's going to call timeout? Who's going to call timeout? When we call timeout.
The guys on the floor. That's who has to call them now.
Okay, so when we call timeout, who's going to call? Who initiates a timeout?
When in 0.8 seconds he would have there? I mean, the bottom line is if Schofield just pulls the ball out, why do you have to call a timeout?
It wasn't that. It was a 0.8 seconds.
Ball was in the front court pretty quick.
You got to get a timeout there. You got to give your kids a chance. I mean, that's one thing I'm going to agree with Vino on. Otherwise, I'm not going to beat on that stab. I'm not going to beat on anybody because the bottom line is we're a 500 basketball team. That's what we're doing. And with the injury to Fulkerson and the long season, and the Mostella thing, you know, it's taking its toll. You know, you look, and that's one thing we haven't talked about. Not having a Mostella around, a guy can put the ball in the hole. You know, that hurts things. Keith, I'm not talking about the last possession. I'm talking about where there was, I want to say 31 seconds left when we got the ball up and we took a quick shot. No, it was a 2 second or 1 second differential between the clock and them having the ball. That's kind of what I'm not talking about the last little flurry there. I think we're talking about two different things.
I'm talking about the one where Schofield runs the ball in the front court and throws it to Alexander when he's cutting. There's 20-something seconds.
Okay, that might be the same possession that we're discussing. Let's go to the phones, and we'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us on your Smartway Garza Law Firm Tennessee basketball overtime on a day where Tennessee loses and they fall to 15-14 overall, but the number that counts is 14-14 overall. And more to the point, as Mark Griffin was saying, 7-9 now in the league, and Tennessee is playing its way down the table, as we say in British soccer, and looked like they were in line for a first division finish in this league, and now right now staring at a second division finish in this league. Barring the unforeseen here, then that is clipping together two wins at the end here with a couple in the tourney. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Hello, Tony?
Yes.
Tony, they didn't answer the phone or anything when I called.
No, nobody answers the phone. That's how we do it.
All right.
I'm on my own. I'm an independent operator, owner-operator, my own guy. Go right ahead, man. You're up.
All right, Tony. Let me, by the way, I love your show. I've listened to you for years.
Thank you.
It's been a while since I called.
Thank you.
I love Tennessee basketball. I think we kind of have to wrap our brains around the fact that they stink. They're just not very good. And I think that people were too harsh on Barnes early, saying, oh, he's not bringing in any decent players. He doesn't know what he's doing. And then they've been giving him way too much of a break for the last month. And the reason I say that is because, listen, it's not just two games. It's the last 6 to 8 games. They don't look inspired. They don't look passionate. I mean, if you told me and you before the season started they had any chance to make the tournament, we would have been pleasantly surprised. But as soon as that talk started, they started tanking. And to me, that suggests a problem with the culture, a problem with the coaching. They're not inspired. They're not inspiring. They're not fun to watch. and let me throw a few other things out there. You know, people act like this is some tremendous accomplishment because you've heard this for a month. Oh, they were picked to finish 13th, and they're picked to finish 13th, and what are they going to finish, 8th or 9th? I mean, that's not tremendous in a league with such crappy teams like Missouri and LSU and even Texas A&M. That's still mediocre at best. And a couple other things I noticed today. I mean, if you've got two allegedly halfway decent point guards and you just give up on them, Turner and Bone seem to me to be worse than they were 6 weeks ago. And I'll just leave you guys with this question and see what you think. Has anybody gotten better on this team? Not since last year, but since the beginning of the year. And my answer would be no. And I also would say, I guess one other thing, when I hear their gas, I mean, these are 18 and 19-year-old men. You don't get tired when you're 19. Something else is going on. I don't know what it is, but, you know, the team looks lost to me. There wasn't a lot of movement on offense. They didn't seem inspired in any way. I mean, I guess, you know, I've never played high-level athletics, but if I had a chance to make the tournament, I would at least, if they weren't making turnovers because they were excited or busy, they were lethargic. They were lazy, the passes were lazy, the drives were lazy, and it's just frustrating because, like the rest of you guys, I was really getting into the season and enjoying what I saw. So, anyway, I'll just leave that out there and see what you guys think.
Thank you for the call. Griff, your thoughts, and then I'll go to Keith on that call, and here's my thing. I think he's overreacting to the loss, but go ahead, Griff. Go ahead.
No, I think he brings up some interesting points. I do disagree that we've gotten players that have not gotten better. I mean, you could go right through the lineup and pick out several players that have gotten better since the beginning of the season. You start, first of all, with Grant Williams. I think Shambari Phillips has gotten better. Yep. I think Admiral Schofield's gotten better. Great. Hubs is a much better player. And tonight, I think Hubs was very effective in that zone. When he gets in the middle, he's just a different player and gets open. I know you talked about him handling the ball. That was when they were running the man-to-man.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just one of those games. I mean, it's just it's going to happen in a long season. I don't per se think that the team's gassed. They just played like they were gassed. They just didn't play as a team. And one thing that I noticed, I don't know if you guys noticed the makeup of South Carolina's team as far as their build. Mm-hmm. It just looked like me, like Tony, like you talked about Alabama's football team and the physical presence that they have on the field versus Tennessee's. I look at South Carolina's team, and this is through Frank Martin's recruiting. He's just got kids that are tough. They're built. They're strong. Every one of them could probably bench press over 200-something pounds outside of Dozier, but he's a finesse player. He's the skinniest guy on the team, and he's still bigger than many of our guys. So I just think that you look at the buildup of a team that Frank Martin put together over the years, and like Keith said, I mean, 4 years ago or 3 years ago, you didn't have this team that South Carolina does now. So Barnes has got a foundation for a good future. It was just an ugly game today that they've really got to put in the rearview mirror moving forward against South Carolina, or this is going to be a season where the Tennessee fans say what if versus, you know, looking at it and celebrating an NIT berth, going in with some confidence, because we don't want to limp into an NIT and play Lipscomb at Lipscomb and lose. So, you know, you want to have some sort of momentum going into the tournament.
You know, Keith, go ahead, because that caller was really see, here's what happened, and this is going to happen to several people now. They got sucked into all that NCAA tournament talk. And one thing that we didn't do here, Keith, is we never played to it. Because I knew what was going to happen if this came about, which is now all of a sudden this team's a disappointment, nobody got better, blah, blah, blah. I mean, none of that's true. I mean, I couldn't disagree with that caller more, but I understand where that emotion comes from, and I understand the frustration of sitting there and watching today, and anybody that sits through today's game needs to vent a little bit. Keith, I think I see a lot of guys that have gotten better on this basketball team.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's the same thing as Konzo Martin's first year here. I mean, by the end of the year, everybody act like that year was a miserable failure when that team wrung everything it could have humanly wrung out of a season. Yeah. And the thing is, well, and this time last year, we were talking about Tennessee appearing dead in the water and weren't going to win another game, and they went to Nashville and won two games and were at least competitive for a while in a third one. So
anything can happen. Yeah.
We'll see.
Here's my concern, though, about this team. And it's real simple. I'm just talking about the program, the direction of it, and where we're going under Coach Barnes. One of these guards better develop, or we'll be a 500 basketball team next season again. I mean, it does not take Stevie Wonder to be able to look out there and see that.
Well, no, you can't throw the ball away one out of every two possessions and win a heck of a lot of games.
Yeah, it ain't going to work. I mean, you cannot. And I guess the thing, at some point, don't you guys have to make a decision that Bone's my guy, Bone's my guy, Bone's my guy, Bone's my guy? I mean, I'm looking at today's box score, and Bone plays 10 minutes in today's basketball game. Now, guys, he's your future. 10 minutes? I mean, look, and in his 10 minutes, he commits one turnover. Why is he not playing more? Turner plays 15 minutes, commits three turnovers. And Phillips...
What Turner shoot from the field, Tony?
Turner today from the field was 1 of 6, 0 of 4 from three-point range. Three turnovers, 15 minutes of play, took six shots.
What that tells me is that Bone had a bad midweek of practice, and coach does this. Coaches do this per se. Will send a message that they take you out of lineup. It's because something happened during the week. I'm not saying that's exactly what happened to Bone. I wasn't at practice, but that just tells me something was going on during practice that caused Quay Parker to start of all people, which I'm sure surprised you guys because I thought, okay, this is to shake up the lineup. Right. How many minutes did Quay Parker play? Three? I mean, he didn't play much at all either.
Played 8 minutes, yep. I mean, that's my concern, and I'm not, look, God knows I've been unfair, and I get all emotional, but this is going to be five of 6 years now missing the NCAA tournament with an incredible fan base, and it's not on Barnes, it's on that lughead Dave Hart. I mean, he's an idiot, okay? He's an idiot. Him at his 1 point, he can go off into the sunset now and retire, him and his 1 point, his one career point that he made an underhanded foul shot at Alabama. But, Keith, my concern is, and I think it's fair right now, if one of those guards doesn't develop, we're going to be a front court heavy team next year, and we desperately need a stabilizing force out there. And you know what? I'm looking at who we have, and it's got to be Bone, right? Am I wrong? I mean, it's got to be Bone.
I certainly think so. I don't see how you long-term get with – I mean, I don't see how you play – Quay Parker or Lamonte Turner more than five minute bursts tops at point guard. So yeah, I mean, I think it has, I don't think there's any doubt it has to be Jordan Bone. And also,
be.
I mean, we've completely forgotten that probably the guy who for the most of the season has been the best shooter on this team has been in the hospital all week.
No doubt about it. And that's, you know, but again, even he was starting to kind of, he had a couple games where he just was really struggling finding his stroke, which, you know, I don't know. Maybe this team, you know, they're not used to being in the spot. Maybe they tightened up a little bit. You know, everybody's human. And that's another thing we haven't talked about. And maybe it's not being tired, Griff. Maybe it's all of a sudden looking up and going, God, we've played our way into contention here. We have expectations on us. Joe Lenardi has us in the first four in, or the whatever the word is, the last four in, or the first four out, or whatever. You know, and look, here's the thing. I'll say this for Rick Barnes. He said all year, you know, we love that talk. We don't not acknowledge that people are discussing us for the NCAA tournament. But, you know, I wonder, Griff, if that's taken its toll on these kids, just that extra added weight of everything else that's going on.
Well, you never know because what goes on in a kid's mind because they're talking about it in class. They're reading about it. They're hearing about it on the show. I mean, if you think the players are sheltered from what fans are saying and students and the media, then you've got another thing coming because
right.
these student athletes read the paper. They do hear what's on the shows from friends. With the, you know, social media out today, they know what's going on, and you're right. It's like, how do they handle it? And that's where the youth, I would say, could come in because it's a place where they've not been before,
yep.
And it's not an excuse. It's just they haven't had that experience to deal with it in a positive manner to be able to execute where a more experienced team could do so. And for example, I'm watching Kentucky and Florida now,
mm-hmm.
And I'm looking, they're going, they're just another level away from this Tennessee team. And we're talking about getting some wins in the SEC tournament. And I'm thinking, well, man, we go up against Kentucky. How are we going to compete with them in the tournament? We're, you know, looking at if we have a chance, we still have an outside chance for the NCAA tournament. That's win the tournament. So let's not forget that.
Sure.
Now the odds may be against us, but anything can happen in the SEC tournament, which I'm not going to excuse that. But to play at that level, they're going to have a lot of chalk talk, a lot of film, a lot of convincing, a lot of love. And these guys are going to have to come together quickly because they cannot afford to lose at South Carolina against a team that is terrible.
Keith, one of my Periscopers just said that Tennessee's not a basketball school. I'd like you to respond to that.
I mean, I just don't agree with that. I mean, why are they in the top 15 in attendance for 51 of the last 52 years or whatever?
It's a narrative I'll never buy. I mean, how many schools have a show like we have right here where there are literally, we were on for 2 hours the other night after that game, and we, after a 30-point loss, have been gone 40 minutes now, commercial break free. Let's get our next call in. Smartway Guards, a law firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. You're on with the great Mark Griffin, the great Keith Hatfield, and I'm Tony B.
What do you say, Tony?
Hey, Philly, welcome in, man.
What do you say, Mark Griffin?
What's up, Philly? That was me that yelled at you the other day at the ball game. You probably didn't know who it was.
How about that?
I knew who it was.
How about that?
You changed a little bit since last time I seen you, but I mean,
Haven't we all?
What do you say, Keith?
Keith, he's talking to you.
Huh? How you doing, Phil? I'm doing all right, guys. I mean, I sit here watching this Florida-Kentucky game, and Dave Hart has destroyed our program. We could have had this cat at Florida as our coach, and we wouldn't be going through this crap right now. But, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we might be top 15 in attendance, but we don't want to win in basketball. That's what the problem is over there.
I can't figure out, because I'm watching this AD deal, and I know the AD deal with the whole Blackburn thing is a lot about control. That's what it's about. And I can't figure out with the basketball deal what it's about. I can't, if it's just ineptitude or if it's just, I don't know. It's hard to figure. But Phil, how can you have those attendance numbers we've had and miss the NCAA tourney 5 of the last 6 years? I mean, that's just.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is.
It is. It's sad. It is sad.
Well, our families get nothing for their money, football or basketball.
No, very little.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And Mark, you played over there. I mean, Tennessee's never reached its potential. I mean, there's a lot of basketball players within 300 miles of Knoxville. There's no excuse for Tennessee not being in the NCAA tournament every year. But we could have been a blue blood program, but we didn't want to be one. It's our administration, guys.
I agree with you, Philly. And the thing is right now I call UT an era of mediocrity because I think of all of our programs from top to bottom, they're mediocre. The thing I've told Tony all along is you should have every program should be top 25% at least as far as where they sit with other programs. It could be baseball, top 25%. Basketball should be in the top 25%. Football, I mean, that should be where the baseline should be, and winning championships as well. And we haven't seen that under Hart's leadership at all, and it's actually embarrassing as a fan and former player.
Philly, hey, Philly, we're 6 places in the fall behind Chattanooga. They have like 1/13 of our budget, and people are asking me if David Blackburn can handle our budget. Here's my question: can Dave Hart handle our budget?
Oh God!
I mean, what the hell?
Send him back to Alabama and retire down there.
And his one and underhanded on the peach basket.
Yeah, he played when Leon Hudson was at Alabama. You think he played any?
Thank you.
And Leon Douglas and that bunch. But, guys, I tell you what, I mean, since 2002, I think Tennessee spent $1.5 billion on, you know, money-wise in sports, and all we got is Bruce Pearl's one SEC championship, and I think we got a track championship since 2002. Is that true?
What did you say?
Since 2002, Tennessee has one basketball championship in all men's sports, and I think a track championship, and we have done nothing else. That's $1.5 billion later.
$1.5 billion. I got to look that up.
Look it up. Somebody told me that was true. So I mean, I figured you can give you something to do this weekend.
Sounds like something for Brian Hartman to do.
But guys, with all honesty, Tennessee don't have a point guard. I mean, it's evident. You're either a point guard or you're not. You can't make a point guard. I mean,
Bone can be one, though. I agree with Keith.
Yeah, Bone could be one.
He's got to get stronger. You know what I'm starting to see? And this is weird today. Grant Williams looked really frustrated on that court today, guys. He looked like... Did you notice that? My wife said...
Yes.
My wife said he looked like, in 1 week, he's got like a foot out the door. She said, am I seeing things? And I said, boy, he does look frustrated. I mean, he looked frustrated.
Well, the last two games, people are starting to, you know, do more doubles and triple teaming on him. I mean, no, Tennessee ain't going to hit no shots from outside.
That's right.
In all honesty, we need a five-man so dang bad. I mean, I go out and buy one. Can we do that? I mean...
Hey, I'll put up the first $100, Phil.
I mean, good Lord, Griff. I mean, you played over there. I mean...
How about you, Griff? You going to put up some money for it?
Hey, I'm all for whatever it takes to get Tennessee back to relevance and out of the era of mediocrity.
Thank you.
I really think it all depends on this athletic director job, Tony. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, they're not going. If Fulmer's in the AD, there's no way they're going to get rid of Rick Barnes after next year. If Rick Barnes don't get the job,
they let Fulmer know. Well, Fulmer knows right now. He's on the outside looking in.
Oh, is he?
I don't know if David Blackburn's even going to get an interview.
Well, who's going to go hire him?
Check this out. The leader right now is Bubba Cunningham over at North Carolina, if he wants it.
Oh, really?
And Philly, another guy to watch because Donna Thomas is trying to pull him in. Mystifyingly, I'm here to tell you, and we'll have more on this on the blog Monday, is John Curry. His name is, and now listen to me.
You got to be kidding.
John Curry is also in the running for the Arizona job.
Well, that's the reason why that South Carolina left Kansas State, because of John Curry.
Yeah, I'll let Keith tell the story. I mean, basically, he was going to mutilate him if he'd have stayed. He would have ended up on the Investigation Discovery Channel.
Oh, God. It's so frustrating, guys. All it takes is one or two players, and Tennessee would be back in the top 20. It's not that hard, I mean.
No, it isn't hard. This team here, you let Bone grow. If Bone can really grow, but he's got to gain weight, and he's got to get more, I don't know. The game's got to slow down for him. If he doesn't, Phil, we're 500 next year. That's what this basketball team is.
Yeah, and I don't think 500's going to get us in the NCAA tournament, do you?
No.
I don't know, guys.
Thank you, brother.
See you, Griff.
Thank you. Hey, Keith, the news of John Curry, and I'm not kidding, guys, when I say the John Curry name. Tell me what Martin and your contacts, because I've been told about John Curry that the current head coach there in football has told him, don't come near me, don't come near my department, don't come within, you're not allowed. Like, there are areas of his own athletic department he's not allowed to go in.
Oh, no, Bill Snyder doesn't let him anywhere. I mean, the best story about that was I was in Wichita. Kansas State and West Virginia played in Wichita when he first went to West Virginia. It had been a while into it. West Virginia was still in the Big East, but they played in Wichita. And Frank had just won his 100th game. And so obviously Frank, having been an assistant under Bob, they said, well, hey, would you mind presenting him with a basketball before the game? Nice little ceremony, because even though he's only there 1 year, the Kansas State fans still love Huggins and everything. And Huggins said, sure, I'd be glad to. He said, on one condition. They said, what? He said, is John Curry involved with the ceremony? They said, yes. He said, then I'm not doing it. John Curry ended up not being part of the ceremony. I know why Donna Thomas wants John Curry here. That way she's not the stupidest person in the athletic department.
She wants that number two job. I'll tell you this about her. She is powerful. I don't know how that's happened, but she is super duper right now. Super duper powerful. Now, this is a lady who had the combined Hall of Fame last year. And again, no offense to her, God bless her, but General Nealon wasn't in it. And his name's on the building. She created a Hall of Fame and had a deal that was her baby. Where on the Hall of Fame, no, General Nealon's not eligible. His name's on the building. He's not in your class. That's where we're at here.
Well, Tony, bottom line is, in a vacuum, it's not hard to find power in a vacuum. I mean, we've got such a leadership vacuum. I mean, why would it be hard for somebody like a Donna Thomas or who the hell ever else with any remote level of ambition to move up the ladder? Because you've got a bunch of people sitting over there just earning checks.
The saddest thing, Griff, to me is when I talk to people like you, and they all glow about Blackburn, who paid his dues, and they played with that guy, and today they're not even going to give him an interview. Now, they might reconsider because we're shaming them, and that's what I'm doing. I'm publicly shaming those people, and it may cost me advertisers. It may cost me my show before it's over, but what's right is right. The way they've done that guy is dead wrong. I stand in total opposition to it. I will speak out against it. It is pure BS. It's wrong what they've done to him.
No, I agree, and the thing is, I've known David for 30 years, and there's people that have known him as long as I have. I mean, he's pure. He loves UT. He would give his all for UT. He should be the number one choice for UT. But what's so perplexing is it's so obvious that he's the best person. Then it shows to me how screwed up this administration is to not go down I-75 and have done this months ago. And I know we've been talking about this for months, but that to me, that's the biggest no-brainer out there this academic year that should have occurred already.
Not even going to interview him. Mark, he's not even going to get interviewed.
And look what's going to happen.
He's not even going to get interviewed, which is, I mean, what's next? I mean, let's just take the guy and spit in his face. Why don't you just take him and humiliate him? To the phones we go. Somebody wants to know who's they are on the Periscope. Who's they? Who's that? You tell me who they is. I don't need to elaborate. Who are they? Who makes all the decisions? One of the family owns a chain of convenience stores here in town.
You get gas there every day.
And that's the guy. That's the people. They've decided that they're not going to play. It's not right. It's not right. And I played at their feet. It's not right. It's not right. I mean, hell, it isn't like we've got some sterling athletic department that you want to hand the guy. This guy beat you by six spots in the fall with one-fifth of the budget. With one-fifth of the budget. People blame Charlie Anderson. It's not Charlie Anderson. He doesn't have any cards. Look at that search committee that Tennessee has. Jimmy Haslam, that Rajah guy's put there by the Haslams. There's another guy put there by them. I mean, come on, let's be honest here. And it's not acceptable. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how much power they have. I don't care. Because it's not right. That's the bottom line. It's unjust, and not only is it unjust, but it's illogical, as Griff just said. It'd be different if the guy didn't have a track record. But you know what? He does this with his eyes. And he sticks his tongue at every once in a while. And that's a disqualification. Yeah, and under your watch, the last quarter century, guys, this athletic department sucks. So he might have a few facial tics, and you guys couldn't find a coach in a room full of Saban. In a room full of Sabins. I mean, give me a break. Let's go to the phones. I feel better now. Who got us started on that? This is a basketball show. It's your Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. And let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Guys, as usual, thanks for being in there.
You weren't going to listen today.
No, I didn't tell you I wasn't going to listen, Tony. I told you you were contractually obligated to do a post-game show, and I was not.
Pretty good line, isn't it, Griff?
Yeah, I mean, you're coming on strong.
Sorry.
Guys, I didn't expect to win today just because of the spot. South Carolina absolutely had to have the game. They're an NCAA basketball team based on their body of work this season, and it was going to slip away. But I did expect to show up. I mean, we didn't play 5 minutes of good basketball today.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and somehow, Bino, at one point, we climbed within 5 points in the second half. I mean, right before that first TV timeout in the second half, before Notice went on a six-point run, it was a game. I mean, Carolina was crumbling.
Yeah, and I'll give Barnes credit. He went to zone defense, and they had trouble handling it through that stretch, and
yep.
Tennessee did just enough to reel him back in. But and Tony, you're right. You talked about it's unfair to be disappointed that this team is not going to be an NCAA basketball team. My disappointment's not in that. My disappointment is here's a young team that should be getting better as the season goes along, and we've played three of our worst games all season in the last four games. And the one game that we played pretty well in, I don't know how you measure it, because Missouri couldn't win District 3.
That's so true, isn't it, Griff? Missouri, I mean, drawing anything from that?
Oh, no question. I mean, and you look at the course of the season, when do you want to peak? You want to peak in March. So you've got some hope going into the SEC tournament. You got some hope going into whatever postseason tournament. It looks like Tennessee's limping, and we can talk Fulkerson all we want, and yep. The guy in the hospital. But you gotta play with the players you got, and that's why you have so many scholarships, because you gotta have depth, and we're just not getting people to step up as a team. I'm just more curious what went on in practice this week that Bone didn't get the time that he deserved, because I actually thought when he was in the game, he didn't look that bad. I was just more disappointed in Turner's individual play that stood out. I was a little perplexed to see how we got away from getting Grant the ball. Even if he was to get doubled, which I didn't see that happen on multiple occasions, but to let him just go to work more often off the block to see what he could do and get to the free throw line more. And we just got away from, I think, our strategy based on South Carolina. Giving them credit, they are the number one defensive team in the SEC, and they have a really gelled team on that end that gives them confidence. But I was just hoping that we could, you know, take advantage of them a little bit in the second half, in which we just folded like a tent.
It was unreal.
Like a chair, I'm sorry.
It's amazing. It hadn't happened till now, guys, on this team.
And Griff, based on the way we played against Vandy and today, I'd be more surprised to know that we did practice.
It's a shame.
An earlier caller talked about, and Tony, once again, he talked about how disappointed he was, and maybe we are over the top on what happened today. And again, I'm not going to be disappointed if this team doesn't make the NCAA tournament, because that was probably above their capabilities anyway. But going down the stretch, if they blow a chance to play in the NIT, that is a disappointment. And that's not unjustified to feel that way.
No. Especially when you have it in your hand, you know? And that's the...
Yeah.
That's going to be the hard thing to comprehend about this deal. And again, I don't know whether it's no Bowden, whether it's the weight of the expectations, whether it's that teams now have a book on Tennessee and this is how we're going to play, because everybody's now knocking Williams off his feet a little bit, and he was noticeably frustrated. But the thing that's odd, and Keith said this earlier, is for two straight games now, Tennessee came out and did enough to get itself buried before the second TV timeout. You can't do that. I mean, the other night, I think we had 8 points in the first 10 minutes, and tonight we had 9. And we were down 17 in our building to a rather average Vanderbilt team. I mean, it's one thing to get popped today like we did over there. I mean, that's, you know, a team that lost 4 or 5 or whatever it was, whatever the number was, and they were trying to fight for their lives. I just can't figure out why now, why all of a sudden we've seen this, because we didn't see it all year. This is the first time we've really gotten popped all year, which is kind of a miracle for the roster we have.
Yeah, and I know Bowden means a lot to this team defensively, and they miss him a lot. They miss him much more on the defensive side than they do the offensive side, but I agree with you guys. I think for the development of this basketball program, you have to play Bone. I think you have to play Kyle Alexander. And I just believe you have to limit Quay Parker and Lamonte Turner's minutes, because this is certainly unfair, but I don't believe those guys are going to help you going forward. I don't. And I think those other two guys will. Keith, this one's for you. This is my fear. I like this freshman class. I can project this freshman class out easily and see them being an NCAA basketball team as juniors and seniors. My issue is, unless you get Pons, who would be an immediate help next year, this team's got issues next year. And if you do get Pons, then without defections, you don't have any scholarships left for 2018. So I don't know how you're going to supplement this freshman class.
Well, I think if you don't get Pons, you look for immediate help at point guard. I mean, I think that's why they've looked at a couple of junior college guards. Mm-hmm. I think that's the direction they go there. And I mean, certainly, in theory, everybody will be here. There's enough of a log jam on the wings mm-hmm. that, I mean, you look at just the transfer numbers across college basketball. I put it this way, if Darius Garland's coming here, I'm not worried about them finding a scholarship for him.
Is that the point guard?
Yes, that's the point guard from Nashville. Yeah, if Darius Garland decides he wants to come to Tennessee, I'm pretty sure they can find a spot.
Yeah, they better. Keith, let's say you get Pons. Let's say project forward and tell me 2018 what's a must get. I'm not talking about a name. I'm talking about a style, a type of player. And, guys, I appreciate it. I'll get to tell you what.
Thank you, Ben.
I mean, certainly. I mean, I think you'd like to have two spots, and you'd like to have, even if Bone is your point guard, he's going to be a junior the next year. And see, I think Bone would be fantastic off the ball. I think if you've got somebody, especially if you get some size across the front line that can protect the rim a little bit, I think you could go small in the backcourt. I'd love to see Jordan Bone playing off the ball a little bit, because I think most wing guys would have point guards have a hard time staying in front of him. I've got to think most wing defenders would have a real tough time staying in front of him. And if the game's going to be officiated the way it is these days, he's going to shoot 10 foul shots a night.
Because they're going to grab him and check him and all that
They're going to have any choice.
You know,
I'm always looking for positives, Tony. I've come up with one for today from what you've told us.
Go ahead.
Hey, if John Kerry gets the athletic director's job at Arizona, we'll be able to hire Sean Miller in a couple of years if we want to.
There's no question. That's a great point. Griff, go back here. We're talking about Pons before. And needs on next year's team. And Keith was talking about a point guard. I almost think Tennessee needs a point guard more than they need a guy 6'8", another wing player. What do you think?
Well, I come from the school of thought, Tony, that NCAA tournament games, postseason, let's say NIT could go into that as well.
Right.
You see guard play, and and I have talked about this for, 20-something years, is when we watch the NCAA tournament, What happens? Well, defenses step up, mm-hmm. and guard play steps up even more, where free throw shooting counts more.
Yep.
So I think that's where the guard really steps up, and the teams that have guard play, I think, advances further than teams that don't have good guard play. I mean, look at Villanova last year. We can go on and on from many different teams and how they've played above their level is based on guard play. So I don't think you have enough good guards. I'm more concerned with Lamonte Turner playing two guard than I am Jordan Bone. That Keith said, I think Lamonte is, to me, I know I've been riding him pretty hard, but I just think he gets away from the team concept and feels like he has to go do his thing. And it showed it today early in offense, taking some ill-advised shots that weren't within the system.
No.
And that concerns me, him being a two guard. I don't know how he and Jordan Bone would play on the court together unless Jordan plays a two guard and Lamonte's a point guard. I think, Lamonte can turn it around as well. I have faith in him to know that he can learn from his mistakes. He's shown that he's coachable by Coach Barnes, where all these kids have shown that they're coachable. So I don't worry about that aspect to where the players can be coached, which is a good sign for the chemistry of this team. But I would think that if we had to look somewhere for immediate needs, would be maybe even a senior transfer or a JUCO that's out there. But then where are they? Who are these kids that we're going to look at that's going to be better than what these other programs are looking at? Because every team's looking to improve, and you hear other teams talking about how much better they're going to be next year. No one's talking about being worse next year. So we've got to be even better than these teams that are already improving. And where we're going to get that, I think, is from a really good point guard.
The voice of Mark Griffin, who joins Keith Hatfield. I'm Tony Basilio. Tony Jones is on assignment. He's up in Kentucky with one of his academy's basketball teams, and we wish them luck this season. Mark has a team himself down in the mid-state. Mark, when are you guys back in action?
We start kicking off the week of the high school basketball state tournament. That weekend is usually when we crank up. The program I work for is called EAB. I'm an assistant coach
been an assistant because of my full-time job. It takes a lot. Oh. A lot of your coaches that coach summer league are coaches that coach other programs mm-hmm. in the summer have that time. But we crank it up and got a full schedule for the entire summer. And
good stuff.
Right now, Tony, after this, I'm going to recruit kids. It's no different than recruiting college kids. You have to recruit kids these days to come play mm-hmm. on your travel ball. So I'm going to catch 3 games after this show's over to show kids that we're interested in them and talk to their parents about being able to develop kids, because I know Kevin Garnett had a piece this week about how AAU's ruined basketball, but I totally disagree. I know it's another segment, but, you know, we teach fundamentals, and a lot of these programs do teach.